All right, take your Bibles and turn to the book of John chapter 3, but we will begin in the book of Isaiah chapter 40. The title, The Topics of John's Gospel. Now, I've listed seven. I could have easily listed 14, but these are seven that we will look at this evening, the topics of John's Gospel. But let's begin in the book of Isaiah chapter 40, verse 1. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Folks, we don't even want to be punished for our sin, let alone double. And then verse 3, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. You know, folks, John the Baptist was told people to prepare for the coming Messiah, but we also must prepare people because one day they'll stand before the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. Sometimes that seems so shallow just to say thank you. But Lord, we thank you for all you provide. We love you for your mercy and grace, for the salvation that you provide, for your patience, for second chances. Lord, help us this evening as we enter your word. Help us, Lord, to desire to be fed. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Point number one, my loved ones must be told. If you have a worksheet, that's what you can put there. My loved ones must be told. John 3, and we'll begin at verse 15. My loved ones. Loved ones. You ever ponder that God loves you? Does that amaze you? That he loves you? The one that created the billions of stars? He loved you. That one that created this beautiful planet. Now, this is a planet that is marred by sin. Can you imagine what it looked like before the curse? It was even better. I was talking to Donna the other day, and I said, I wonder what it was like in the beginning if there were butterflies all over the place. I wonder what type of birds were all over the place. You know, we have some bird feeders in our front lawn, and we have four different woodpeckers that come. We have cardinals, blue jays. We have goldfinches. It's amazing. But you know, the majority of the birds are just kind of brown and black. They're just plain birds. And yet, what does the Lord say about the bird that falls? That he knows about it, right? And he loves us. Can you imagine? How many people do you love? 20? 30? How about that person that's a real booger in your family? Is there someone in your family that's a real booger? You know who I'm talking about. You know. And it's hard, isn't it? But God loves us. John 3, verse 15, we'll read through verse 21. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world. It's, you know, we read the word and we think we know what love is, but we really don't know what love is yet. We will know someday. When we see Jesus, we'll understand love. When we see God the Father, we'll say, oh, that's what love is. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Why is it necessary that we send the gospel? So that they know about God, right? Because how can they come to someone they don't know about? For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world. Now, is the world condemned? See, the law tells us it's condemned. God didn't send his son to condemn it. Notice it says, but that the world through him might be what? Saved. That's an awesome thought, isn't it? He wants to save every man, woman, and child on planet Earth. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved what? Darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. My loved ones must be told. Number two, my sheep must be fed. John 21, you know where we're going. John 21, we'll begin reading at verse 15. John 21, beginning at verse 15, Jesus is talking to Peter. Peter, who had denied Christ three times. Verse 15, so when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter. Do you think Simon Peter knew that sooner or later Jesus would get him alone? Do you think that he knew sooner or later Jesus is going to talk to him about what he did? And he says, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, you knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. He saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved. Notice that he was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. My sheep must be fed. Now, I don't know how many of you have dogs like Donna's dog. One thing we found out is that puggles are little eating machines. Some dogs, you can put a bowl of food down and the dog will just kind of visit it throughout the day. And, you know, it will eat as it wants to. Not so with puggles. Puggles say you put that food down for one reason and one reason only, and that was for me to eat it. And I'm going to eat it right now. He wants to be fed. At no time in the years that we have had him has he ever said, no, you don't have to feed me. He has never said, no, that's all right. I've had enough. I've often wondered, Pastor Stephen, if I gave him the whole bag, if he would eat the whole bag at once. But you know, not only do people need physical food, what else do they need? They need spiritual food. And we live in a society that's anemic. They have no idea what it means to be spiritually fed. For many of them, they go through life wondering about that thing that is missing. Some of you have commented upon the marijuana place down here on Van Dyke, just south of Hall Road. And if you like me, as you drive by, you look to see how many cars are in the parking lot. And I have been there, maybe you have too, where they were not only in the parking lot, three lanes, but they've been out on Van Dyke waiting to get in. See, we live in a society that it wasn't enough that they had all the beer and wine and whiskey and vodka they could want. Now they can have the marijuana they want. Because they are searching for some type of peace. But the fact is, that's not where it's at. See, we have something the world needs, but they don't want to accept it. But Jesus said, my sheep must be fed. Number three, my word must be kept. John chapter 14, verse 23. John 14, 23. My word must be kept. Have you ever had a boss that told you, this is how I want it done? And you thought, you know, there's probably a better way. And so you tried it. And then he came or she came and said, I told you how I wanted it done. You know, and then you're kind of embarrassed and you think, well, why does it have to be? Well, they're the boss, right? They're the boss. It gives them the right. Jesus, and I hate to use the word boss, but he's in charge. And notice what it says in 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will what? Keep my words. Now, folks, that's pretty strong language. He doesn't say, if you want to be on my good side. He doesn't say, if you like me. He says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. You'll keep my words. If you love. There's that love word again. Throughout the Word of God, we find that love is so very important. But my word must be kept. Number four, my servants must work. John chapter 12. John chapter 12 and verse 26. How many of you like to cut your grass? You just think that's one of the best things in life is to cut your grass. Nobody? Nobody likes to just think, gets up in the morning and says, I want to cut my grass. Okay. It's too much like work, isn't it? Yeah. You know, lawn work is one of those things that I've always thought it's just one of those things you do. Well, how about the Lord's work? Well, notice what it says. John chapter 12, verse 26. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father, what? Honor. To serve him. Have you ever gone to a restaurant and you knew that your waiter or waitress either had a bad day or just simply didn't want to be there? And you knew they were just going through the motions? See, when you go out to eat, don't you expect the waiter or waitress to act like they are really glad they can serve you? Right? I mean, most of us are pretty nice, aren't we? We don't yell at the waiter or waitress. We don't throw water at them or curse them. We're pretty nice. Don't we expect them to act like they are glad to help us? And you have had waiters or waitresses that went out of their way. I remember one time Donna and I were out and we told them it was our anniversary and they said, you know, I'm going to see what I can do for you. And she went in the back and a little bit later she came out with some ice cream and some cake like and I said, how much is that? She goes, don't tell anybody. I'll just let you have it. Okay. That's fine. You know, going out of her way. I mean, I often tell people that my tip is based on how often I have to ask for water. If I don't have to ask for water, that's a good waiter or waitress. That means they're paying attention. that they are serving me. Well, we are to be servants of the Lord. So that means we're willing to do what the Lord wants. And that's easier said than done. That's easier said than done. But Jesus said, if any man serve him, let him follow me. And how important it is that we're willing to follow the Lord. And number five, my disciples must produce. John chapter 15, if you would, please, and we'll look at verse 8. Now, this morning, David Hinkle and Ann Hinkle came in with a box of tomatoes. Now, you don't think they just found those on the side of the road, do you? No, they came from their garden. Wasn't it nice for them to bring those tomatoes? Did you get some of those tomatoes? I took what was left over home. It's too late, folks. They're already at my house. But the garden produced. Not too long ago, Donna and I were going over to Brian's house, and we wanted to go by a Baptist church that you can see right off I-96 near where they live. And the reason being is the pastor there was someone that my dad knew very well, and we had noticed that it didn't look like there was any activity anymore, and we drove over to that church to find out it was no longer a Baptist church, which was disappointing. But that's not the story. The story is that a home on that road had produce out by the road. And the sign said, free, free. Isn't that nice? We got some zucchini and some green peppers. How much did it cost? It was free. God's love is free. But he does expect us to produce fruit for him. Notice what it says in John 15, verse 8. Herein is my Father what? Glorified. What's it mean to glorify? To praise? To honor? Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. How do we bring honor and glory to the Heavenly Father? By producing fruit. Again, easier said than done. See, we live in a world that we are being told everybody ought to be doing stuff for us. We live in a world of society where people have their hand out, wanting, wanting, wanting. But the fact is, as believers, we are to be producing. And that is how we will hear the thought of, well done, my good and faithful servant. When we have produced, bringing glory to the Lord. And number six, my friends must obey. John 15, and we'll look at verse 14 in just a moment. My friends. Have you ever wanted to be someone's friend who really acted that they could care less about you? We probably have all been there, right? Or someone ignored us. Or someone just acted like, man, you're a bother. Just leave me alone. You've had people like that, haven't you? Or am I the only one? Yeah. You know, you want to be a friend. Maybe you've even been at a family function and some family member really doesn't want you in the pictures. There are family members that just say, man, do you have to be there? Do I really have to invite them? Yeah. But the fact is, to be a friend of the Lord, that's quite an honor. That is an honor and a half. Notice verse 14, ye are my friends. And then what? If. Ye do whatsoever I command you. You're my friends. You show your friendship when you do what is required of you. When you work, when you produce, when you obey. So my loved ones must be told. My sheep must be fed. My word must be kept. My servants must work. My disciples must produce. My friends must obey. Number 7. My brethren need to be reminded. John chapter 20. Do you ever need to be reminded of something? I have found the older I get, the more I need to take notes, keep notes. It's amazing. My mother said it's because there are so many things floating around in your brain and they're all fighting for that number one spot that some of them get pushed in the background. You ever feel like there's too many things going on? Yes. Can I tell you a little, I don't know, it's not a secret, but something. I'm looking forward to tomorrow. You say, well, why? Well, I don't have to worry about going and seeing Dad. The funeral is come and gone. I'm just going to take it really easy tomorrow. In fact, if I don't get up to 10 o'clock, you won't hold that against me, will you? Other than Rudy. Don't call me at 8. Sleep to noon. I'll be honest with you, I'm tired. I'm tired. And I'm glad tomorrow I'm taking that I don't have to work. And sometimes, though, we need to be reminded to pray for those people who are going through difficult times. We need to be reminded. We need to be reminded that the Lord loves us. You ever take things for granted? What's something you take for granted? How about breathing? You ever think about that? I have sleep apnea. Do you know what sleep apnea is? That means I stop breathing during the night. And before I got my CPAP, I would stop breathing about 60 times an hour. In other words, every hour, 60 times, I stopped breathing. In fact, before I got my CPAP, it bothered my wife sometimes to where she would punch me and say, breathe. And, you know, you take it for granted, but sometimes if you have sleep apnea, you just stop. And all of a sudden, your brain says, breathe, stupid. Well, it doesn't say stupid. Well, maybe it does that. But that's one thing we take for granted. How about water? When was the last time you worried about water? We take it for granted, don't we? We live with plenty of water in our area. Praise God. What are some other things you take for granted? Can I ask you, when was the last time you were worried that you'd get to church and the doors would be locked? You take it for granted they're going to be unlocked, right? You just say, hey, they're going to be unlocked. We take things for granted. What is something else? Tell me, what is something you take for granted? The car's going to start. That's right. I mean, how many of you get up in the morning and think, I wonder if the car's going to start today? I mean, maybe you've had a car, you had to worry about that. What's something else? What was that? Food. We take it for granted, right? We have so much. Yes, we take it for granted. When was the last time you examined what was coming out of your gas pump? Or out of the gas pump and you were putting in your car, you examined it to make sure it was really gas. We don't worry about it. We take it for granted. Sometimes we need to remember, don't take it for granted that everyone at church is doing okay. Because you know what I have found out in my 46 years here at the church? Some of you are very good at hiding what's really going on in your life. You're really good. My dad hid his dementia for years before we finally figured out what exactly was going on. You know, we take things for granted. Notice what it says in verse 17. Jesus saith unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. She was to remind them of what he had told them. We need to be reminded of our Lord's love, of our Lord's concern. And that's very important. Are you ready to meet Jesus? Are you ready to meet him? You think it could be tonight? You know, one thing I have found out is a lot of men in their mid-60s die of heart attacks. They die of their first heart attack. Wouldn't that be something if you found out that Paul Madonna died in his sleep tonight? He was so tired that he just decided to go home. But the fact is, we have no guarantee of what's going to happen tomorrow. Are you ready to meet him? Have you told his loved ones of their need of salvation? Have you fed your children and grandchildren the what is necessary of spiritual growth? Have we kept the word of God, or have we tried to find loopholes? Have we worked and produced and obeyed? My brethren and sisters, may I remind you that our work here on earth is not done yet. Not until he calls us home. Shall we stand together? We'll sing a song of invitation. Time in which you can pray, either there at your seat or here at the altar. 470, I have decided to follow Jesus. And to follow him means to be with him. How important it is that we stay close. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask that the Spirit would move and touch hearts. Lord, we pray the prayer that never fails. Lord, thy will be done in this invitation time. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.